think I got this working. Can you guys hear me?
Yep, we can see you. We can hear you. We are now joined by the driver, the number two, PPG4 for Team Penske, and that is none other than Brad Keselowski. Brad, man, that was a tough race from start to finish tonight. Please walk through that effort from your perspective.
Yeah, a decent finish for us. We ended up third. I felt like we had a pretty good car. Had a rough start there with, I started in the outside lane, and I guess the tires with the track not having any rubber when you start in the outside lane just completely blistered and corded. And so we lost almost two laps the first run, thought something was broken, didn't know what was going on, and finally got new tires put on lap 60, and of course then we were lapped down, and by the time we were able to get our lap back and all that, we were at the end of stage two and running 10th or 11th, and unfortunately, I didn't get any stage points, but rallied to get up to the lead there with, about 150 to go, and just wasn't quite good enough to hold off the 19. He was super, super strong and proved, why he's so good. He just kept passing cars and just flying. Pretty impressive. All in all, I was really proud. It's the first time that I've been here with Jeremy Bowens, and this is very much a track that, you get a lot of reps with the crew chief, and you just keep iterating and finding small little things to get to the front and to be the best, and to come here our first time together and run third, I think is a pretty good mark for us.
Good deal. We're going to start off with Jacob Seelman from Speed Sport. Go ahead, Jacob.
Thanks, Matt. Brad, with this being the first night race at Martinsville, I know you guys had the end of the one race a couple years ago that ended under the lights, but really the full effect of it here, did it feel different or play out any differently, you think, compared to a normal day race at Martinsville? Was there anything strategically that was a little different?
Not a big difference. I think probably the big thing that we noticed, I think it was Jacob, I didn't catch your name, but I think the big thing that we noticed, of course, is not having any practice. That makes it really different experience to try to dial the cars in, and this tire was quite a bit different than any tire we've had here before. So those two things together was more of a challenge or certainly more noteworthy from our perspective.
Our next question will come from Bob Pockers. Go ahead with the question, Bob.
Yeah, Brad, obviously NASCAR made the announcement today about banning the Confederate flag, and I'm wondering whether did drivers talk to NASCAR at all about it this week, and do you think NASCAR, once Bubba advocated for it, that did you feel that pushed NASCAR to do it?
Yeah, I wasn't really involved. I can't say I was completely caught off guard, but I didn't know there was any conversations going on there. So I can't say I was, involved intimately to know those things. Bobby, I think NASCAR well enough to know that they do a lot of things without necessarily asking me. With respect to that, I don't want to say I was caught out in left field. That's not accurate, but it wasn't something that I was necessarily expecting to hear when I woke up today either.
And are you in general in favor of that decision?
I think I've spoken about it before. I don't really care for that, for that flag. I come from Michigan, and I understand it might mean different things to different people where I come from. It doesn't mean anything good. I think I have some empathy towards those that it does mean something positive to. I can't put myself in their shoes because I've never been there. But, in general, I'm a rights guy, and I like it when people have rights to do what they want to do, but it's ultimately not my decision, and I support the fact that it's NASCAR's decision to make.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Christian Audi. Go ahead with the question, Christian.
Hey, Brad, last part of that race, you and your teammates were going pretty close with each other. What's going through your mind when you guys are all near the top there and kind of racing pretty close? And second question, heading towards Miami next, what are some of the quirks of that race that you like to expose there?
I think probably what was going through my head racing my teammates is don't wreck my teammate, because I really want to have a job and not get fired. That's probably the biggest thing. But, we raced each other hard but didn't wreck each other, so I think that's good. And you asked about Homestead. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that last part.
Yeah, what's some of your favorite parts about racing down in Miami?
Favorite parts, well, probably my 2012 championship. You know, because we used to run for the championship there, that's what it'll always be to me. It'll be those memories and of deciding titles and championship parties and something I'll never forget.
Our next question will come from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead with your question, Jordan.
Hi, Brad. I'm wondering if you had heard Bubba's comments over the last few days, your reaction to them, and what you thought overall of his activism over the last few weeks.
I've heard a few of them. I can't say he's done a lot of media. I don't know how he keeps up with. I can't keep up with my own media, let alone his. So I can't tell you. I've heard everything he said to know exactly his position articulately. But you know, he's standing up for what he believes in, and I can support that.
Are you impressed that knocking against some drivers that some aren't willing to stand up and be at the forefront, but he has certainly taken the lead of that?
Yeah, he's got obviously a much different perspective than any of us do. And you know, that gives him, you know, an authoritative role with everything that's going on, or I don't know if authoritative is the right way, but certainly a credible perspective. How about that? You know, that's one that I don't have, and most NASCAR drivers don't have. So, you know, he's kind of carrying that as the face of NASCAR right now. Maybe whether he wants to or not, I don't know if he wants to or not. I don't know. But you know, in some ways, I feel bad for him because that's a tremendous burden to carry. But in other ways, I think he's very fortunate to have an opportunity.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Our next question will come from Dustin Long. Go ahead with your question, Dustin.
Yeah, Brad, a couple things. You mentioned just being with a new crew chief at this event, at this track, and some of the challenges and just kind of learning a little bit more. But I'm curious, the top four finishers tonight were all new driver crew chief combinations this year. Now, I understand Truex had been with, James Small as an engineer before, but I'm just curious, you know, hearing that, what strikes you about that, based off of what you said earlier about new drivers and crew chiefs working together at Martinsville?
Wow, that's a great stat. Dustin, that's a Bob Bacher stat. You get that one from Bob?
I'm insulted now.
Oh, come on. Come on, you guys are friends, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great stat. I didn't think about that. I don't know why it worked out the way. I don't know if that's a coincidence or maybe that's trying to tell us something. I mean, generally, that doesn't seem like a coincidence, but I would like to think that we would have been better if we had more races together. I think that about the fall race, but what do I know?
I also want to ask you, this week, you guys race at Atlanta, Martinsville, Miami, heat, long races, challenging races on the body, Miami, hot, humid. What is this week been like? What's it going to be like for you guys after Miami, and what's it been like this week?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hesitant to say that it's tough racing because, you know, I drive a car in circles for a living, Dustin. I don't think a lot of people want to hear me kind of whine and complain. But that said, it's a tough week. It's probably the toughest I have ever been a part of. Atlanta was a grueling race, very humid, 500 miles. I don't know why it had to be 500 miles, but it was at a track where the cars, you know, are a handful. And you know, normally when we run Atlanta, it's in March or late February-ish. And so, you know, obviously running it in early June, late May, it's much different weather conditions and much, much harder. Same thing here in Martinsville. I'm a little bit surprised that today was a 500-lap race because, you know, with it being a Wednesday night race, that's pretty long into the night for some of our fans. But it also is part of the challenge of being a race car driver is running 500 laps, 500 miles. It gives an endurance factor to it. And, you know, I think we see time over time that with that endurance factor, you know, the storyline and the plot changes. So I hate to shorten the races because I think it's part of the storyline and plot of the Cup Series. That you have to be good for so long and it wears you down physically, mentally, along with the car. I really appreciate that. But I don't know if there's ever been a more grueling stretch in cup racing. And I was talking to my dad about this, you know, cause my dad was around in cup in the 60s and 70s as a kid that, you know, went to a bunch of races with his dad who had a team. And he and I were talking about it at dinner just a week or two ago. And you know, he asked me, you know, are you going to be all right for this stretch of races? And I told him, well, I'm just going to have to suck it up. You know, what are you going to do? You have to find a way and persevere through it. And he was telling me stories about, you know, in the 60s and 70s when they had, you know, when they ran more races, they had the longer schedule. You know, they'd run a 400 or 500 mile race, you know, one or two a week. But, you know, the drivers would get out at halfway. You know, it wasn't uncommon to where, you know, your big name drivers would run the first 200 or 300 laps and get out. Either somebody else would finish the race or they'd get back in and finish the race at the end. And I thought that was so interesting because, you know, I think that just goes to show you, you know, how much the racing has changed and evolved. And even though you can maybe compare this specific period of time in NASCAR to the olden days when they raced more during the week, I think that kind of changes it because we don't have driver changes mid-race. So I think that creates, you know, like I said, you know, this is kind of making history for the most grueling few weeks on a driver that I think the cup level's ever seen. So, you know, with respect to that, Dustin, it's the same for everybody. And we all got to toughen it up. And I think it's a great test of will. It's a great test of the drivers. I think it's part of what makes these few weeks so compelling, not just as a participant in the sport, but as a fan myself.
Thank you.
No problem.
Our final question for Brad will come from Zach Sterniolo. Go ahead with your question, Zach.
Brad, you, Ryan, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex, all seem to struggle a lot at the beginning of this race. Would practice have helped you guys kind of knock out whatever issues you guys faced that first stage?
I mean, yeah, I would like to think so. You know, I'd like to think that if we ran, you know, 50-lap practice or 10-lap practice, that we'd have learned a few things. But, I mean, I can't say I know for sure. I know not having rubber on the track was a huge difference after, you know, and I started at the top. And I think that really changed a lot of people's days, and not everybody even recovered. You know, I think – somewhere around the top 16 or 17 cars want to lap down in the first run of the race. That's amazing. How often do you see that? So just a really interesting race.
Thank you.
No problem.
Well, Bragg, congratulations on your run, and we will see you at Homestead Miami Speedway. Safe travels to you.
Thank you, guys. See you in 4 days.
That's right. Enjoy. Take care.